Hello, and welcome to the ISA Audio Library. This is program number 402. The title is Telling the Truth. This conversation with Ole was recorded at Studio One in Chicago. Ole asked me to be sure to tell everyone listening that working on ourselves can be rewarding and fun. So please have a good time of it while you listen. To receive this information as easily as possible, it is suggested that you listen in a quiet, undisturbed place, such as your home or your car. You can, of course, play the programs often and whenever needed. Well, the topic of this tape is telling the truth. And I remember before I did the ICE experience, when I looked at all the things that were not working in my life, my marriage, my relationship to my children, my work, my relationship to me, were not working in the way that I wanted to work. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I went to did the ICE experience was to see if I could get those things to work better. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you the ramifications of all the things that weren't working and what it was doing to me. Frankly, it was killing me off, I think. If I had not done the experience, I probably might even be dead by now. If that isn't too dramatic, it's probably true. Because it was a lot of strain, a lot of discontent in my life. Mm-hmm. What was absolutely shocking to me was that one solution, or the big solution, to getting those things to work better was to start to tell the truth. Tell the truth for me. I thought I was telling the truth. Do you suspect that a lot of the unhappiness that's out there in the world, the frustration that people feel, the emptiness that people feel, the loneliness they feel, maybe the way they abuse their children and their wives and husbands, physically and mentally, a lot of the unhappiness stems from this about not telling the truth? Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that is accurate, Kirk. In my experience, it all has to do with telling the truth. And although that sounds deceptively simple, it's very complex. I think most people feel that they are not all right the way that they are. I think that is true about most people. If I, however, go up to a person and say, "Do you feel all right about who you are?" They will say, "Oh, yeah, I'm fine." What is happening in our society is that it's like our lives are about deception. Everything is about deception. And the result is that many people feel lonely or separated from their surroundings, from the people that they work with, their spouses perhaps, their children often. It often happens, if not initially, it happens fairly early in life, certainly by the time that the children are teens. In their teens, there's a definite separation. That, to me, has to do with us not knowing how to tell the truth. How to be truthful to ourselves. And I think that it is very important for you to look at the possibility that you're not telling the truth to yourself. Why is it, for instance, that you always pretend? And what is it that makes you think that it is better to pretend to be something rather than to be yourself? Why is it that we have drawn the conclusion that to be authentic, to be real, to say it the way that it is, or to begin to practice, to get back in touch with the way that it is for ourselves, why is it that we think that that is not a better solution than to perfect our game of deception? Why is that? I think that the problem we have is about not knowing that the truth is what sets us free. We don't know that. We don't know that the reason that we put on makeup is to cover up who we are. We don't know that. But how would you know that? Who says that? Nobody says that. We don't know that the way that we dress is to somehow improve upon the way that we are. I mean, I talked to some people recently about going for a visit to Mexico, and some of the people on this particular beach took their clothes off, and people were horrified. I mean, I'm never going to do that. So we have become alienated from ourselves in a way that who we are, just the body that we occupy, for somebody else to see that would be a horrifying experience. It all goes back to telling the truth about who we are, that somehow it has become not acceptable, not palatable to be who we are. If I go and ask a person, are you telling the truth? They will say yes. Have you noticed that? Always. They will say yes. Oh, yeah, I tell the truth. I always tell the truth. Oh, yeah, sometimes but mostly I tell the truth. In important matters, I certainly tell the truth. We have lost sight of the fact that we don't tell the truth. Now, that's not a blame, it is not a criticism, it is not a judgment, it's nothing to feel bad about. You don't have to feel bad about not knowing that you haven't put oil in your car. You don't have to feel bad about it. It would be smart to know, though, that all you have to do is to add a cord. All you have to do with your life to feel happier is to learn something about the self-deception that makes you believe that you're telling the truth. If you knew that you were not telling the truth, would you change? Yes, I think everybody would. If it became safe enough to know that the reason I'm not so happy, the reason I'm not so open, the reason that I cannot relate freely, the reason I don't have the kind of confidence that I feel I ought to, all of it stems from not telling the truth. It's not because you don't have a degree. It's not because you have 10 pounds of extra fat around your waist. That's not why you lost your self-confidence. It's not because of your brown eyes or blue eyes, your hair is long or short, or you don't have the money to buy the latest fashions. That's not why you are not having the confidence or feeling happy and content, feeling at peace with yourself. That's not why. What we know is the background. What we know the foundation for happiness is, what we know it to be, is to tell the truth. But when I say to tell the truth, I don't mean telling the truth the way that you now listen to me say telling the truth. Because, I already know that you're telling the truth. Except, you don't know, and we don't know, how we deceive ourselves all the time. And that the result of the deception is that we lose the ability to be happy for no reason. We lose the ability to be free, to be ourselves, that is, to be confident about being ourselves with the assets that we have and the liabilities that we have. That's what we lose. We lose the ability to use our talents, to be creative. We lose the ability to be real with other people. Most people know that they are pretending, that they're putting on an act. They don't know why. They think that they have to. Well, everybody else does it. If you only knew that the reason we do all of these things is because we don't know about the freedom that exists for us, if we could only find a way to tell the truth. One of the things that I say in the experience is it is much freer to live our lives in such a way that it would be all right to have it written up in the newspaper on a daily basis. That I conduct my life in such a way that it is all right with me that you know everything about what I do. There's a real freedom in that. Now, this is not the way that we live in society. First of all, it begins with a very difficult decision that you and I have to make. To be willing to look at the possibility that I am lying to myself all the time. That's the first thing that moves us in the direction of changing the way that we are. Now, if I say, this was true for me. Some years ago, I didn't know, if you had asked me, do you tell the truth? Yes, I tell the truth. I considered myself a pretty accountable person. I did not have the sophistication. I did not have the ability to see that I wasn't telling the truth. I would say to myself, I'm going to do this, and then I didn't do it, and then I would come up with a reason and explain why it was, and then I would forget. And yet, if somebody else said, let's say that it was about jogging, that I said to myself, oh, it would be really beneficial for me to go jogging or meditating. I would meditate half an hour a day. That would be a really good idea. And then I wouldn't do it, and then I would say to myself, well, the reason I didn't do it was blah, 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 blah. And then if I met somebody who would say to me, well, are you still meditating? Then I would feel a pang of guilt. Now, why is that? Well, I didn't know at the time. I would just feel uncomfortable. I didn't know at the time that the reason was that I had lied to myself, that somehow or another I had violated myself, that I had said to myself I was going to do this and then I didn't do it. And now I felt a little bit bad. But I didn't know that the reason that I felt a little bit bad was because I'd lied to myself. I didn't know that. Now I know. Of course, as in this example that you brought up, as you begin to discover the price we pay for lying to ourselves, you stop. So that you don't have to go and be vulnerable in that particular way. When you and I begin to tell the truth, you will discover that to be vulnerable is perfectly safe. It is only when you lie that it is not safe to be vulnerable. Because then you can, like, get killed. But if you don't, like, children are very vulnerable. They don't get killed very often. Have you noticed that? They don't. They have a freedom to be. They have a freedom to make mistakes. They have a freedom to explore. They have the excitement of adventure and the adventure of life. They still have that. And it is linked to, as I see it, they don't lie to themselves. They don't know yet how to create this duality within themselves. They just go for whatever it is that is true for them at the moment. They go for it. We don't. We lie to ourselves.
Telling the truth goes beyond not fibbing and the day-to-day white lies and all those sort of things. It goes beyond that. It's a much bigger issue than we think. Don't you think?
Yeah, and I think the first thing is this about white lies. I think we should talk about telling the truth simply to begin with. And I want to make a distinction. When I talk about telling the truth, I talk about telling the truth within the framework of our personal experience. I don't talk about telling the truth like, what is the absolute truth? And I think that it is important that we understand that as human beings, this form of consciousness that's manifested as human beings, that we don't really know the absolute truth. We don't know, for instance, what reality is really. Like on the subatomic level, we don't really know what goes on. We don't know the purpose of why we are here, so we can't really tell the truth about that. We don't know the truth in some absolute way about what God is. We don't know. So in that realm, we are not exploring what the truth is. The realm that is important for us to master is the realm of our personal experience. So when I talk about telling the truth, I want to begin by confining it to the world, the private world that we live in our daily lives. It has both to do with telling the truth externally, but more importantly, it has to do with telling the truth to ourselves, to be true to ourselves. Now, telling the truth externally has to do with things like white lies, that we intentionally distort the reality that we experience. So I will say to somebody something that isn't really accurate from my own experience, like, I'm sorry I forgot to call you. when in truth, I didn't forget to call you. I felt uncomfortable about calling you. And rather than have to acknowledge my vulnerability, I will distort it slightly. So that your reality is now distorted. That is, the shared reality that we have between us is distorted. That is the external truth. There's also the internal truth that we tell to ourselves that either establishes power within ourselves or takes away the power from ourselves. That is when we tell ourselves that the reason we didn't go to work today was really because we had a stomachache. And we tell ourselves that underneath that we know that the reason we didn't go to work was that there was some potential confrontive situation that we had to deal with, some unpleasant incomplete that we had to complete, that we didn't feel powerful enough, or we didn't feel up to, or we felt scared about. And so we tell ourselves that we didn't do it because of some imaginary condition that we fabricated. Did that answer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thought that comes up to me, that occurs to me about telling the truth, that somehow it seems to be the way we're built almost in the larger sense, that when we tell the truth, we feel better. When we lie, particularly when we know we lie, we feel terrible. That what seems to be the measurement of what telling the truth is about. So there's a damage that takes place, some kind of damage. We damage ourselves somehow when we lie.
That's true.
Could you talk about that a little bit? I'm not quite sure what that is. What is it that we damage, really? Our integrity? Or is it something that's innate in us as creatures? Or is that too complicated?
See, I think that the reason that we lie is a leftover from the jungle. It's a survival technique. We live by deception. We have to deceive all the time in order to defend ourselves. If we are too vulnerable, we can get damaged. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it operates for lions and monkeys and giraffes. A lot of their existence is deception. Even the way that their coloring is, for instance, with tigers, the coloring is such that it attempts to deceive its surroundings, and in that way it can survive. We, as human beings, are another step in the evolutionary process. At least we have the audacity to have this chauvinistic attitude that we are at the pinnacle of evolution. I'm not so sure that we have consulted anybody about that, like the dolphins or the sparrows. But we think that. We think that we are at the pinnacle. Now, if we say that that is true, then I see that we have an opportunity that is different from the animalistic survival equipment that we have inherited. And as human beings, in my own experience, what happens when I'm deceptive, what happens directly with my energy is that I feel less powerful. The reason that I lie is always associated with an evaluation that I've made about myself and who I am directly, that I am less powerful should I disclose the way that I really am, that I'm less powerful. What happens when I tell a lie is some of my energy is taken out of the game. I now withhold some of my energy. I have to remember the lie. I know that I'm not powerful enough to be just the way that I am. And my own thought process, the way that I fabricate my reality inside, the way I think, I am now preoccupied with this lie. So in my relationship with you, there's this portion of me that's not being present. Did you ask why we lie?
No.
The result of it is that I lose my power. Now, power, when people talk about power, they talk about power in terms of overpowering somebody. That's not the power I'm talking about. That is, again, power from the jungle, the animalistic attitudes that we have inherited. I'm not talking about power in that sense. The power that we have as a conscious human being, the power we have is to be clear. And when I lie, I create a distortion in my ability to see. I can see less clearly. Because all the time that lie that I put in there acts as a filter between me and the reality that I'm interacting with, whatever that is. That could be with the color red, or it could be with another human being, or it could be with the feelings that exist between me and some other human being. It takes away the power in the sense of clarity. So the reason for telling the truth, when, for instance, Jesus talks about the truth will set you free, what that freedom is about is the freedom to be at the highest level of conscious manifestation that I think we as human beings represent as a potential. So every time we lie, we distort that. We become imprisoned by that limitation that we create from the lies that we say. We create a bondage to an illusion that we are not all right. So our purpose for telling the truth is to have the freedom to be at the highest and at the purest level that we can manifest consciousness.
Is some of that energy that you were talking about that's lost or used, is in covering up the lie?
Yes, it is. And the tragedy of it is, the moment that I begin to lie, I take away instantly my opportunity to be authentic, to be the most that I can be. And the most that I can be has to do with a purity and a clarity. It also happens to be very powerful, but not like powerful over somebody. There is nothing that you can do to a person who tells the truth. A person who tells the truth can always be with you regardless of the way that you are. And from my point of view, there's an enormous gift in being committed to tell the truth. Because what I'm committed to is the freedom of the spirit that is me. I'm committed to allowing me, as that spirit, it is really the spirit of who I am, committed to allowing the spirit of who I am to manifest clearly. I say that it is a gift. See, people think that they lie, that they get an advantage by lying, that it is possible to gain something from lying. It is never possible to gain anything from lying. Never. Lying becomes a burden. Any and every lie that we tell, although that we may say, well, a white lie is something that has to do with a spirit that is already clouded. Now, in that kind of clouded vision, it looks as if you can say a white lie. You know, when you've already said so many other lies, one other little lie wouldn't make very much difference. And I agree with the people who say that. That's true. You've already lied so much, so the fact that you lie another 3,000 or 4,000 times will make very little difference. You're not seeing anything anyhow. The moment that we begin to lie, we immediately shift the quality of who we are. It is not the quantity of lies, it is not the magnitude of the lies, it is the fact that we have taken a stand about not telling the truth. And it takes the power away. Then I inevitably will have to go in to acting, to pretending, to put on a facade. The moment that I tell a lie, I will have to put on a facade. This is why in our society that the facade is the important thing. The makeup, the clothes, the color coordination, if you will, the hairdo, the money, the props, the theater. That's what's important. I mean, there's more time spent on preparing the facade than anything else. Most people have jobs to create a facade. So what we are surrounded by are very good acts. And some not so good. And the real game that I think that we play, which is a spirit in the process of unfoldment, has not begun. It begins by being committed to tell the truth, not as a moral statement, not like it's good to do that. It makes the game in life worth living. So the benefits from telling the truth is, well, most people have never attempted to do it, so they don't know what it is like. But the game, when you begin to play the game from telling the truth, it's like you suddenly come out of prison. It's like you can suddenly look at somebody, like, I'm not afraid of looking at Kate because I don't have an agenda that I'm afraid that Kate is going to find out. So I can just look at her. I don't have a judgment. I don't have any defenses. I don't have any evaluations. All of those things come from our lies. When there are no lies, then I can look like objectively. In a way, it is like detached. There is no agenda. And then I can truly appreciate other human beings. I can appreciate colors, and I can appreciate, you know, whatever. Yes, Kate.
I don't really understand then why the truth hurts. You're saying that eventually it's the only thing. It's the only thing to reach for.
What would you prefer? Would I prefer if I went and asked Linda, do you feel that I did the right thing? And I'm really sincere about that. I really want to know. Would I prefer, regardless of whether or not it would be comfortable, would I prefer that Linda, out of some, I would have to say, false alliance with me, would I prefer that Linda said, yes, you did the right thing. It was their fault. When, for Linda, from her observation, not that Linda would necessarily represent the truth, but if I ask her opinion, would I want her true opinion? Even if her opinion might put me in the wrong, so to speak. Would I prefer that? I'd have to say yes, if I'm interested in the truth, even though that might put me in a bad light. It may be that, gee whiz, Linda would say, well, Ole, as a matter of fact, I thought that it was inconsiderate that you did such and such, or I thought that that was a violation of, you know, whatever. Yes, I think it is true that the truth sometimes hurts. And it never is alleviated by a lie. If Linda promotes me to do the wrong thing, then I'm going to get hurt over and over again. So I think that the truth is, even though that sometimes it's uncomfortable, is much preferable. And I think that all of us, at least this has been the case with me when I've done the ICE experience, I ask people now, if you could have it any way that you want, would you prefer that people put up a good front, or do you prefer that people are real with you? Without exception, people prefer that the person that they are with is being authentic. So it is true that it sometimes hurts, but life is not without pain. It's not. I don't think that we should be so fearful of experiencing pain. The truth, what is true for me is that I get to feel more pain when I lie, although that at the moment it may look that as if I don't, as if I can get away with it. Over the long run, it is always more painful to lie. I must add one other ingredient when we talk about the truth. Some people have problems with this about telling the truth, because they say, well, so you mean to say that I should go around and tell people that they look horrible when they look horrible, and when they come and ask me, how do you like my hairdo, should I throw up if I don't happen to agree? Or if they show me their new hat, should I laugh if I think that it looks comical? No, that's of course not what I mean. That's not what the truth is about. It could be that you have the opinion that the hat looks funny. I think that it is important to remember that we need to add the ingredients of goodness, of kindness. That the truth is not about killing somebody or hitting them over the head. We have to be kind, kindred in spirit. So we have to be careful. If somebody asks me an opinion and I'm not so sure what my opinion is, I think that it is all right to say that I'm not so sure. If Linda says, do you like the way that I did my hair, and I truly don't like it? Well, I can say I can say positive things about it. I think that the hairdresser did a fabulous job. It sort of really fits, but it's not my particular style. One of my friends came the other day to the office, and she had had her hair done. Now, first of all, I didn't notice, which, of course, is a major blow, a major faux pas, because, you know, here she had gone and had her hair done. And then the hairdresser had done something to her hair. I had to look 3 or 4 times to see what it was. And it didn't stir up great emotions in me. And my acknowledgement of the hairdo was rather flat, which was true for me. I felt rather flat about it. I wasn't being unkind, and I was being true to the way that it was for me, without thereby saying, oh no, that looks terrible, I can't understand that you would go and spend $30 on that, and probably was $50. But I think that it has to be tinged with kindness. Yes, Rita?
Would you say that there is I feel this way sometimes, that there is an immediate bonding or connecting with someone if I'm telling the truth to someone else, but in kindly.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is like it is opposite from telling a lie. The moment that I tell a lie, I create a distance, I create a separation. You see, I create a separation inside because I deny my own reality. And the moment that I'm open and I tell the truth, I am bonded. It is like we become one. The freedom that I suspect Jesus was referring to when it said that we become free, what we become free to experience is oneness, the kindredness in spirit, that we are in fact one, one consciousness in a process. We call it a process of evolution. I don't know if that's true. There are some ways in which we can look at it as if it is a process in evolution. And when we tell the truth, we become intimately connected with that other spirit that is in our experience at the moment. We are not what we go around thinking that we are. We are not some little person inside. A way of talking about what we are like an energy field. And when we lie, we bind some of that energy. We hold it. We hold part of our reality separate from reality, so to speak. The moment that I release that bondage, it is as if there's a rush of energy flowing through the body. There is a lightness about us when we tell the truth. If we have had an issue going on with another person, I'm sure all of you have had that experience. The moment that we tell the truth about it, there's a certain lightness that comes into the relationship. And it is like a weight. We talk about it as if a weight is lifted off our shoulders, which fits very much in with this image that we bind our energy in a certain way the moment that we lie. So there is that sense of release. And we feel lighter. Now, ultimately, if we imagine that that is true as we keep on doing it, then we would feel very light if we always told the truth. Well, it is my experience as I go through my life, as long as I keep on being careful to tell the truth, to get my life completed as I go along, I feel light. Doesn't matter how difficult my life is. Life is not ever easy. I can feel light about it all the time. Rita?
Is telling the truth a way or the only way to love?
Is telling the truth the only way to love?
A way or the only way?
I think it is the only way. I think that it is the only way. I think that love for me is a connection with another spirit. It is an experience of oneness. Well, if there is a lie in this space, so to speak, if there is a lie between us, then the connection isn't there. It isn't possible to connect. There's only a partial connection, like there can be lust. You know, I can still lust for another person. But there isn't that deep emotional sharing that is the pinnacle of my experience of what love is. A sense of ecstasy of being one with. I think that that is why when we first meet a person and we have the experience of falling in love and it is all tinkly and wonderful, there are no lies yet. Have you noticed how long it lasts? Something like 15 seconds or 3 weeks maybe if you're lucky. I think that that has to do with our unwillingness to dare be real with one another. And the moment that we become not real with one another, it begins to disintegrate. So I think that love in its truest form requires that we are authentic so that it is the real person that is experiencing a connection with another real person. And that cannot take place unless we tell the truth. When I don't tell the truth, it is because I'm afraid that I'm not all right. And so I have to build myself up a little. Or I have to alter the way that I am a little in order to have the experience that I'm okay. Telling the truth really begins with telling the truth to ourselves so that we can learn to love ourselves. I am certain that until I'm willing to tell the truth to myself, to be willing to accept who I am and to stop doing the things that I'm not willing to accept and to begin to do the things that I know that I need to do in order to accept, appreciate, feel satisfied with myself, I will always cover it up. Always. And it comes up in all kinds of subtle little ways. It's not blatant like it's Tuesday and you say it's Thursday. It's not blatant like that. It comes up in the subtlety of what we pretend to be, never showing our true colors, so to speak. The reason we don't show our true colors is because we are not doing in our lives what we know we need to do in order to feel okay about who we are. We are not celebrating our lives. We are not willing to do what it takes to experience life is a celebration. There's no joy. We are not willing to pay the price to have joy in our lives. Whatever that takes. It could be maybe to do 30 minutes of exercise in the morning, refrain from eating chocolate in the afternoon or having dessert in the evening. It may be small things like that, where we let ourselves down, so to speak. So we don't have the opportunity to celebrate who we are. When we don't celebrate who we are, and I'm not talking about being self-righteous. I'm talking about an experience of gladness, of happiness for the gift of life, that we have the opportunity to manifest life through this particular body that we seem to be surrounded by or surround, the one that we call our own. When we don't treat that environment with integrity and kindness, we will cover it up and not tell the truth. And you know, with yourself in your relationship with me, whenever you have lied, it has always been about something that you feel that you ought to have done or you shouldn't have done, that you then think that I'm going to judge. Of course, it isn't me judging. You've already judged it as being not okay. So now you have to pretend that you did or didn't do it in order to look okay. And that comes up all the time. It is whenever we let ourselves down, whenever we violate our own sense of dignity, that we lie. And that will come up from now on until you die, unless you make a shift. I think that most people are nowhere near the beginning of telling the truth, nowhere near wanting to hear anything that has to do with the truth. And I need to backtrack a little. I think the majority of people, at least the majority of people that I have come across in the ISA experience, thought that they told the truth. I mean, they really thought that they told the truth. And I don't mean that they were not aware that sometimes they would be a little sly about it or tell white lies. They thought that basically they were truthful people. That is the way that people go around operating their lives. They think that basically that they are truthful people. And as you may have personally experienced in the ISA weekend, that turned out not to be so. That you were basically liars. And only accidentally would you tell the truth. Unbeknownst to yourself, you would occasionally. I suppose this is one of the things we say, like with Freudian slips. I don't know that that really makes any sense, but it is as if occasionally the truth would come out before we had time to think about what it was that we were going to say. And often that represents, not always, often that represents an approximation that is closer to the truth than the way that we would have said it had we thought about it. We see with children, for instance, that they are not very adept early on in life. They learn it very quickly. But early on in life, they haven't learned to lie. Children haven't learned to lie. They have not learned to play the game the way that we are accustomed to playing the game. So they will say things that are embarrassing. They will say things that are refreshingly direct. And then later on, they learn that that's not acceptable. And they learn that that is not acceptable, I suspect, coming from that they learn that they themselves are not okay the way they are. Or they learn from their parents that it is necessary to pretend. To pretend is a lie. There isn't any need to pretend. Why? What are we pretending? Well, we are pretending that we are different from the way that we really are. Some people think that, well, if I were going to tell the truth and I was going to be just the way that I am without this kind of civilized coat that I put on, I would be a maniac. I would be like an animal, a wild person. I don't see that at all. I see that when people tell the truth, they become real kind. They become kindred in spirit.
When we're working on telling the truth, does it start with us?
Yes, Kirk, it begins with me. I have to learn to tell the truth about the way that I really am. It's really necessary to have somebody to assist. To assist in, for me, to learn to accept that I'm all right in my own frailty, in my own vulnerability. I have to have somebody teach me to accept myself. It is not, it appears to me, it is not something that we can do on our own. I certainly could not do it on my own. And I see in the ISA experience that people who come there recognize in the experience people who are serious about their lives. They really want to live good lives and they want to be good human beings. They want to be good Christians or Buddhists, whatever their orientation is. They want to be good people, yet they don't know that they're lying to themselves. They have no idea. It's like when I lie, I distort my ability to see, and my whole purpose becomes to defend my own lies. I don't even know that I do that.
That raises the question, though, that for me is if I don't know I'm lying, then how is it to hurt me? You see, there's a little confusion there for
yes,
you.
Yes, I understand. I understand. How do you know that it hurts you? You don't. This is one of the problems. If you knew that it hurt you, then you would perhaps do something about it.
Which implies that we know when we are and when we're not, though. That we do know on some level that we're lying and we're not lying. So in a way, we know it.
There is a way in which we know it, but we have not learned to recognize the signal. We don't know. We know that we feel uncomfortable, but if we haven't had the other dimension, which is the dimension of what would it feel like if I told the truth? If I don't have that, then I don't know what I'm missing. This is why I say that it is necessary to have someone assist us. Mm-hmm. We cannot do it on our own because we don't know that distinction. We don't know that it is actually true, that there is some real truth in this, that the truth sets you free, that there is some experience that is a part of what the human experience has as a possibility, an experience of freedom. Freedom from having to pretend. People don't know that. That is why I say that when people come to the experience, even people who are really serious about their lives, don't really know that they're lying to themselves. They don't know. It's not, oh, yes, they do know certain things, like they do know that they cheated on their taxes, perhaps, and they do know that they stole money from the manager in their job, or they do know that they cheated about the work that they were supposed to do and didn't do. And yeah, they do know some things like that. What they don't know is that they're lying to themselves. They don't know that. What happens when I tell a lie? I am gearing my energy to find evidence that the lie is the truth. And I do everything to block out any evidence that the lie is a lie, as is a distortion. So it is like my machinery gets aligned with the lie. It like defends itself on an unconscious level. So it will block out. It's like I get blind to seeing any evidence that I'm lying. Most people go around feeling uncomfortable about who they are. And it comes from not telling the truth, but they don't know. They just know that it feels uncomfortable, and as a defense, they put on all this pretense. They don't know the other side. If they knew the other side, they would begin to seek ways of finding how to tell the truth to themselves. People think that they can, with faulty equipment, perceive correctly. They cannot. It's like you have blinders in front of you. You don't know what it looks like to not have blinders, and you don't know the technology to get the blinders away. What happens in the experience is that you have a moment of the blinders getting disappeared, being taken away. The moment that the blinders get taken away, then you see, aha, there's another opportunity. There's another possibility in which I can experience my life. And then, of course, it takes a little practice, 4 or 5 years of it, and you begin to develop the sensitivity necessary to make the distinction between telling the truth and not telling the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the obvious things where you cheat on your tactics. You already know about that. You don't know how to do anything about that, though, till you begin to learn how to tell the truth to yourself, till you begin to understand the price that is paid in terms of the quality of our lives, our ability to be real, our ability to be authentic, the power that is inherent in being free. You have no idea about that. The average person has no idea about that. And that's how come they don't work towards telling the truth. They need somebody to show them. And I think that what it is we need is to be in a relationship with someone who is willing to tell the truth and who is willing to have you or me be just the way we are, so that there is the safety of being accepted no matter what. So when people work with me, one of the first things that I look for is to show them that they are lying and to show them that it is all right. See, there is no judgment in, from my point of view, in people lying. There's a sadness that they are taking away from me and themselves the ability to share fully the authenticity of who we can be as free spirits. There's a sadness about it, and I have no judgment. So it becomes safe enough if Linda lies to me. It becomes safe enough for Linda to acknowledge it sooner or later. Mostly we don't think that it is safe. And because we don't think that it is safe, we never get to tell the truth. So we never know. We never know what it is like. We never know what it is like to wake up in the morning and feel joyful for no reason at all. Most people don't have that experience. They don't have the experience of accepting themselves so completely, including their shortcomings and vulnerability and inadequacies and what have you. They don't have that experience. So they never feel joyful for no reason. They feel joyful if they win the lottery, because it doesn't last very long, or when they buy a new car, or if they feel that they got the better of somebody. You know, they feel joyful for a moment. But that's not really joyful. Not really. So they don't have the experience of what it is we talk about when we talk about that the truth has within it the ability to be free. It's like on a cellular level, we know that, on a cellular level, the whole body responds when we lie. That is that the whole machinery gets affected. We have lie detectors, right? So we know that at a cellular level, the body is altered a little bit, which is measurable by temperature and moisture. The excretion of the body demonstrates that the whole body is involved in either telling the truth or not. I mean, we can measure it. Now, what I say is that we do not know what effect it has in our ability to experience living our lives until the effect of lying. We don't know until we have the opportunity to tell the truth. And then suddenly we see that to lie is an enormous cost in terms of the quality of our life. But we don't see that and cannot see that on our own. Yes, Lee?
I lie a lot. And one of the things that goes on with me when and if I clean up a lie is that I see the extent to which I have damaged the relationship, or that I have, I see the cost that I've paid for the lie.
Mm-hmm.
When I lie, I don't necessarily see the cost that I'll pay.
When I clean it up. Not at that moment.
And when I clean it up, I see the cost that I pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see that I always know, usually when I lie, it's like I have the thought that I shouldn't do that, or I have mm-hmm. the thought to tell the truth, and mm-hmm. I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me difficult to say I won't do it again, or to think that there's any way to rebuild what it is that I've lost in lying.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that some? About how to, like, I know that I need to atone for it, and yet I know that in the past I've seen that, and yet I continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see that I'm about to lie, and I go on and lie, and then I clean it up, and it doesn't seem to stop.
No, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You and I have the opportunity at any moment to stop it. We have the opportunity. That's not to say that we will. We have the opportunity to stop it. It's like life is always like that. It is, there's a temptation to get away with it or not. And you and I have the choice any moment in time to clean it up. Will you clean it up? Well, sometimes you will and sometimes you won't. For me, it has to do with the cost. It always is a very practical matter. It's the cost in terms of the quality of my life. It's not the cost in terms of any particular relationship, because the lying has to do with what goes on inside of me. It is the way that it damages my equipment, which is my opportunity to experience life. If I'm willing to settle for something less than, well, then I'll lie again and again and again. And I feel that there is an opportunity for any one of us. Some of us won't do it. Some of us will continue to lie, and we'll clean up at least some of it. And then we'll lie again, then we'll clean up a little of it. And we, over time, accumulate more and more lies, really. That we never dare get to the bottom of it, that is, that we say to ourselves, I'm committed to the maximum possibility of experiencing life while I'm on this planet, in this state. I'm willing because there is so much that I miss by not telling the truth. There are some people who don't ever get to that distinction. In religions, there was an awareness on the part of the people of wisdom who have given us scriptures of different kinds of the need to forgive over and over and over and over. And I think that it comes from the recognition that as animals we will lie. So we have to fight continuously with this lower level of manifestation, which has to do with survival. We have to fight with it. What you have to come to terms with within yourself is, am I committed to tell the truth? Sincerely, at some level, at some depth where it matters, are you willing to tell the truth? Are you committed to that? Now, if you're not committed to that, you will not. There's nobody who can do it for you. Because it always occurs within ourselves. And the danger is, since we are like an energy field, it's so difficult for me to talk about what we are really like, because I really don't know, and I don't. Anybody I have asked, either by reading books, and they come up with all this hokey stuff that I really know that they don't know either. They just think that they have to have an opinion. It's like I destroy the ability to have certain experiences in life. I destroy that ability when I lie. And if you are aware of a possibility or excited about the possibility of what life can be for you as an experience, and what it is that you can share with other people in terms of that experience in life, then work towards telling the truth. If you have given up, well, then you won't. And most people, like if I talk about ecstasy, we know that there is such an experience. I think all of us can imagine that there is an experience which would be described by such words as ecstasy. But have we ever had that experience? And I think that for all of us, we would have to question whether or not ever in life we had had that experience, or if we had ever had that experience. How frequently do we experience life as a celebration of ecstasy? Now, those things I think that we are entitled to. I mean, entitled to, that is, as an opportunity, they're there. You want to experience that? Then catch yourself, clean it up, commit yourself to telling the truth, and go on. If you don't, you damage the equipment. It's like the red light goes on and your engine needs oil. You know, if you keep on ignoring when the red light goes on, what happens? The engine burns up. That is our ability to experience. Little by little, we ignore the red light. We ignore whenever that little voice comes up and say, hey, Lee, you know that you're not telling the truth. Well, if you don't listen to that and nurture that, it dies. And this is what has happened with most people. They don't know that they're lying anymore. Now, what can happen in the ISA experience is that that little light can be reignited. If you don't nurture that little flame, it dies again. And then you won't know that you're lying. See, this is the disaster that has happened with us. Or maybe it is that the light is beginning to get turn on, that we have reached the level of consciousness where there is a possibility that we can now be true to ourselves, be authentic. That may be what is happening, more so than the light was ignited and then was ignored. Maybe it is that the light is beginning to exist as a possibility, that we now have reached a level of an evolutionary step, a level of consciousness where the truth might exist as a possibility for us to share. It is clear to me that when you tell the truth, you feel better. And you will be more open and authentic in your relationship with me, with anybody, me, not me personally, me collectively. It begins with a sense of acceptance of who we are, which is why I said earlier, we need a teacher. We need a teacher. We need someone who makes it safe for us to have the experience that who we are is all right and who we are not is all right. We cannot do that. We cannot listen to this conversation inside our head that says, oh, I'm all right. Because at the same time we say that I'm all right, there's another voice that says, oh, you are kidding. You know better than that. So we cannot do it on our own. It's not possible. At least it appears that way to me, that it's not possible. It certainly is much faster to find someone who, in whose presence it becomes all right to be who we are, with all the frailty and vulnerability and faults and mistakes and so on. And then we begin from there. It's like we need light to see. And we cannot, we can't see in the light we generate ourselves to begin with, because it is so fuzzy, it is so distorted, that we have all these opinions, that we have made truths for ourselves. Somebody said that we were not all right and we bought into it, and then we have to pretend that we're all right because it's not all right to be not all right. And you know, and we are in this maze of confusing thoughts that are usually opposed to one another. We need some clarity, we need some moments of peace where it becomes all right to be who we are. And it is from there we can begin to undo this maze that we have created, this confusion we have created, and begin to tell the truth about where we are. But we have to find an environment where it's all right to be who we are. This about self-acceptance is not something that we can do by ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. It is like we always have a two-ness inside us. Have you noticed that there's always, as you have one opinion, there's an opposing opinion. As you have one value, then there's an opposing. If you take one stand about something, then there's another part of you that takes another stand. It is all that confusion that we have to get out of. The thing that we talk about in the ISA experience about disease, the two-ness, the disconnectedness, that we are split And in that state of splitness, we cannot tell the truth. We can't see what is and what isn't. So we need somebody who can give some clarity about that. And that comes out of acceptance of who we are, which we cannot do by ourselves.
There's also times when I think about being happy when I'm really happy. It's almost scary. It's mm-hmm. like it's a feeling of, I don't know if it's because it's such a strange place or whatever, but the thought of being really very happy and being really okay with me, which only happens in little flashes,
yeah,
a place where I'd like to be a lot, it's almost scary to be happy for me. I have these thoughts that it's like something real scary about it. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think that there is a part of us that knows that we are not deserving. We already know that we are not all right. We already know that the way that we conduct our lives is such that we are in violation of our own integrity. We know that. And I have never met a person who, in their better moments, were not willing to look at for a moment that, yes, they were in violation of their own integrity. Now, if I'm in violation of my integrity, I don't feel that I have earned the right to be happy. That there is an innocence about happiness that we don't have. And that innocence is violated in our lying to ourselves. See, the moment that I lie to myself, I've created this two-ness in myself. And the two-ness is not innocence.
I asked Luis one day, I said, is it possible to live guilt-free? And he said, yes, tell the truth. And he went back to writing his notes. It was a little simple.
That is true. It is possible. You see, it is so interesting. When we talk about we want to have our lives work, of course we want to have our lives work. What is so is that our lives are working. I think that what it is that we want is to be happy. I think that, if you talk to the average person, what is it that you really want in life? When we get to the bottom of it, they want to be happy. How do you get to be happy? Well, I have to tell the truth about who I am. I have to be willing to risk being who I am. And how do I get to understand what that is? Well, that has something to do with telling the truth. See, people don't know that. It is to people too simplistic. They already think that they're telling the truth. What you needed in order, and what most people need in order to make their lives work, are props. Thinking that the props are going to make them happy. So the game is endless, because there's always another prop to get. What they're after is to be happy. What we know to be so is that when you begin to work in the direction of understanding that perhaps the dilemma that you are in has something to do with telling the truth about who you are, you, I think, are beginning on the road to being happy. You can keep all your props and you will probably enjoy them more. Mm-hmm. You will enjoy them. Most people have lots of props and they don't enjoy them. The game is not about the props, and the next prop is not going to make you happy. What exists as a possibility has something to do with this simple statement of telling the truth. So what you have to do as you listen, you have to begin to look at or find ways to discover how to tell the truth to yourself. Knowing that it is very complex. Otherwise, if it was really easy, then everybody would do it and they would be happy as a consequence. You will be a much happier, much more fulfilled, content human being when you begin to tell the truth. If you want to be happier, if you want to be more content, feel more authentic about who you are, feel a need to be closer to other people, you have to begin to suspect that the reason that you don't have that has something to do with not telling the truth.
Oli, what I gather from what you've said so far is that mainly that it seems like what you're saying is that the telling the truth, working on that, working in that direction, is really the only way to solve this issue of emptiness, loneliness, unhappiness in our lives, and so on and so forth. That it's like, in a way, the ultimate game. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I agree with that. And I think that it is important to make a distinction. It's important to understand that there are different levels of what we mean by telling the truth. There's an ordinary level at which we live our lives, in the ordinary business of life, where you, before you did the experience, felt pretty much at ease with telling the truth or not, that you were a little slippery here and there. It wasn't significant. So it is obvious to you, after you've done the experience, that what I'm talking about, when I talk about telling the truth, I'm not addressing at that level. There is a way where telling the truth will provide all the things that we want in life. I mean, we all have, right here before our very eyes, everything that we could possibly want. The reason we don't experience that it is so has something to do with that quality that we talk in ISA about, which has to do with telling the truth. That telling the truth is the ultimate challenge. If I want to live my life fully, I need to examine this question of what is telling the truth really about? And as you begin to explore that, you will find that that is the ultimate challenge in life with the ultimate payoff. The payoff being feeling wholesome, healthy, happy, content, powerful, and the freedom to be authentic. It is the ultimate challenge, the ultimate game, with the ultimate payoff, a happy human being.
ISA would like to thank Ole and the ISA graduates who made this series possible. Please be reminded that reproduction of these programs in any manner without authorization is unlawful. Thank you for listening.